The placarding of Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 1. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Bishop Lightfoot has a good word in place of the phrase evidently set forth. It is the word placarded. The Lord and his atoning work on the cross had been placarded before these Galatians. The message of his person and work had been clearly demonstrated before them. But now they were falling back into the legalism of the old covenant. Oh, foolish Galatians, what stupid folly to leave Christ for Moses, to leave the gospel for the law, to leave justification by the righteousness of Christ, which brings such solid comfort, for justification by the works of the law, which could only bring their souls into bondage and condemnation. The apostle was so astonished as to call them foolish or senseless. Now, in the writings of the apostle, there is an emphasis on the cross. Paul had placarded the cross before their eyes. We have often seen men carrying a large placard over their shoulders, hanging down front and back, as a means of advertising, a very vivid means of advertising. Now, Paul had made Christ crucified as vivid and arresting as that to these Galatians. The old covenant could never convoy souls to heaven. It was too weak to open those bright gates. It was too feeble to ascend that lofty hill. If we seek acceptance of God by Sinai's code, then we must surely fail. And it is a fool's plan to try it. It cannot prosper. It will surely fail. It is only the Lord Jesus and his atoning sacrifice on the cross which can make a way for us to heaven. On that cross, he met every need. His finished work alone satisfies divine justice. He has paid his life for mine. In him, by him, we clear the law's utmost demand. Such is the value of the Savior's cross, and its value was made clear by the apostle to the Galatians. Now, we not only see the emphasis on the cross in the writings of the apostle, but the scope of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, embraces and affects the whole universe of God. The cross, for instance, is the center of a believer's life. Believers stand fearless on the rock of a completed sacrifice. It is finished. Human redemption is secured by the cross. Redemption is an accomplished fact. Every payment has been paid down. Every penalty has been thoroughly endured. The curse has been drained. Satan has been vanquished. Believers are free. So to the Galatians, the apostle could write, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The cross is also the center of the corporate assembly. The Lord has formed his church of sovereign grace. He has planted it with his virtues, gifts, and graces. He waters it every moment. He has fenced it around with his almighty power. It is nourished with the refreshing doctrines of the gospel, which are seasonably applied. It is impregnable against the forces of evil. Its faith, piety, and courage have spread to the ends of the earth. Because the cross is at the center of the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16, verse 18. Also, the cross is the center of world history. Everything beforehand moves to the cross. Everything since flows from that cross. The whole world was sunk in ruin and misery, given over to idolatry and superstition. No distinction is made for any person of any race. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. They are all gone out of the way. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans 3:12. But at the center of this ruined race, God has set forth a means whereby sin can be forgiven and guilt removed. And that means is the cross, whom God has made, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has made a mercy seat. He is the mercy seat. Also, the cross is at the center of the universe. Not only the center of a believer's life and the center of the corporate assembly and the center of world history, but the center of the universe. There is a state of disorder in the whole universe. But the regeneration of the whole is promised so that there be a new heaven and a new earth. Through the blood of the cross, God will reconcile all things to himself, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. Colossians 1:20. Then we see the reach of the cross. The cross reaches up to God to give assent to his holiness, to guard his holiness. The one grand purpose of the scheme of grace is to guard God's holiness, which is the very essence of the life of God. Holiness was therefore manifest in our Lord's human form. His walk in our soiled path was as clean as when he moved on celestial pavement. Is every act, every word, have but one feature, and that is one of absolute holiness. The cross reaches up to heaven and secures God's holy character and gives him righteous ground on which to forgive sinful men. It reaches down to the bottom of human degeneracy. Some may ask, can holiness revive in the wasteland of nature, fallen nature, upon which the blight and curse of God rests? Only by means of the cross of Christ. The Lord Jesus alone can make a wretched sinner holy and fit for the presence of a holy God. The Savior welcomed, his holiness begun. The Savior cherished, his holiness advancing. The Savior never absent, his holiness complete. Holiness complete is fitness for heaven. Only through the cross can man rise to that heaven of heavens where God is and enter and live in God's holy presence forever. Only the cross can do that. Oh, wondrous cross, wondrous cross, that can do that for us and do that forever. Listen to the words of Henry Williams Baker. Oh, perfect life of love, all is finished now, all that he left his throne above to do for us below, and on his thorn-crowned head, and on his sinless soul, our sins in all their guilt were laid, that he might make us whole. In perfect love he dies, for me he dies for me. O all atoning sacrifice, I cling by faith to thee. Yet work, O Lord, in me, as thou for me hast wrought, and let my love the answer be to grace thy love has brought. Amen and amen.